Clarence, how does he fit in? If you're just joining us this morning, we've been working through a series of messages that have been called Big Screen Christmas. And what we've been doing is we've been taking some famous, just some classic Christmas movies, and we've been looking at what we can gain from them, even though they're not Christ-centered movies, but how they can help us to focus more on Christ during the season. And this was kind of birthed out of me bringing my own baggage into church here, because as I grew up, these, what we've been calling them, these third-party icons, these third-party additions, add-ons, Santa Claus, Frosty, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, these are all things that was Christmas to me growing up. Stockings by the chimney, tree with all sorts of lights on it and presents, and I just couldn't wait for Santa Claus to come. And I grew up, and that's what we celebrated for Christmas. We didn't celebrate so much about Jesus Christ. And so then when I became a Christian and I went off to college, my pendulum kind of swung way over here, and I didn't want to have a thing to do with these third-party add-ins, these third-party icons, Santa Claus, Rudolph, Frosty. And I realized over here, I was just as distracted, just in a different way. I was so frustrated by these Christmas icons, by these extra things, that I wasn't enjoying the joy of Christmas. I wasn't really celebrating Jesus Christ, because I was too busy being upset about all these other icons. So what I've discovered is that neither side of that really gets anything done when it comes to worshiping Jesus during this season. And so what I've been trying to do this year, I'm trying something new, and I've invited our church family along with me. And so far the journey's been pretty fun, hasn't it? You guys enjoyed this? It's been kind of fun. And so what we've been doing is taking these movies, these secular movies, about these third-party icons, and we've been looking at how can we make these movies into a thing that helps us to reflect back up and worship God. And so the first Sunday we spent on the Who's in Whoville and the Grinch, and the idea is that every time you see the Grinch, or every time you hear that song, or you see the Who's in Whoville, or you see the movie on TV, you're going to think, Christmas is not bought at a store. Has that been working? When you guys see the Grinch or the Who's, and you're thinking, my faith, hope, and love need to be in Jesus, not in my stuff. Because we as Christians, more so than the Who's in Whoville, ought to know that Christmas is more. And the week after that, we looked at Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, and how he was rejected and sent away and exiled just because he was different. And not because he wanted to stand out, but he stood out simply because that's who he was. And so we took that, and we want to reflect on that. We want Rudolph to be a memory button, one of the psychological memory techniques there. So every time we see Rudolph, every time we hear that song in the stores when we're finishing up our shopping, and any time we see his picture, or we see the movie on TV, we're thinking, you know, I need to stand out. I need to be different. Not because I want to draw attention to myself, but because as a Christian, that's who I am. I'm different. And that might cause rejection. That might cause us to feel alone sometimes. That might cause suffering. But regardless, we've been called out. Now, this is kind of a surface level of what we've been dealing with. Now, this has been pulling out a deeper theological base. Okay, we'll use some church words here. You guys, make sure your glasses are on straight. All right, push them right up. All right. And so we've been looking at something deeper and about this Christ child, Jesus, that came into the earth, that was in that manger, and these little hands and that little heart that was God that came to earth, Emmanuel, God with us. And we looked at this, and we looked at this statement. We've been looking at this statement each week, and that is that Jesus was holy. That means 100%. He was 100%. What's the word we've been using? Oh, we should have it up on the board. You guys did a great job without having it up on the screen. 100% transcendent. All right, that means he was out of this world. He was holy with an H that time, set apart. But also Jesus was 100% what? Incarnate. That means he was in the world. He was involved in the world. And Jesus wasn't some hybrid God-man where he was 50% man, 50% God. That's not what Jesus was. When he came to earth, he was 100% God, 100% holy, 100% pure, and he was 100% incarnate, 100% involved in this world. Now, last week, what we did was we zoomed in and we looked at what it means to be transcendent. What does it mean to look like we're out of this world? What does it mean to be set apart, to be holy? Well, this week, what I'd like to do is I'd like to zoom in on incarnate. And that's a big church word. What does incarnate really mean? And so to start us off this morning, I'd like to do a little illustration. We like to have some fun every once in a while. And so I'm going to use the board here. I'm going to divide these up into three pieces for this illustration here. Can you guys see that in the back? Yep. Okay, good, 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 good. Purple's a good color then. All right, so we've got three little parts here. And what we're going to do is we're going to start off with God, because God's above all things. Nothing is above God. Everything is under God. So we're safe to put God on this top level here. So we're going to put a little God face here. All right? And so this is God the Father. So put a little beard on him, all right? So we've got the Godhead, the Trinity, some people call it. What are the other parts of the Trinity? We've got God the Father, God the Son. All right, let's draw God the Son. Let's put the Son up here. Woo! God the Son. And what's the other part? God the Holy Spirit. All right. All right. We're using a dotted line because he's a ghost. He's a Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. There we go. All right. So we've got the Trinity. We've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing above him. He's on the top level. Now, on this bottom level, we've got man. All right. And so we're just going to put a bunch of men down here and just kind of expressionless faces because, you know, sometimes we're not always happy. I mean, this, I believe that's correct. Amen? There's joy. And even though there are times when God is saddened by things, there's still an underlying joy about God's person, God's character. Not so much with us sometimes. And sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're sad, sometimes we're joyous, sometimes we're just flat out depressed. Sometimes we're confused. You know, and I could draw little squiggly lines for the mouths, you know. We don't know what's going on, and that's because we don't have it all together. Sometimes we might feel like we've got it all together, but even those times we're still short a little bit. We don't have it all together. We're going to come back to man, because there's something right here in between these two, and it's a being that exists that's not up with God, but he hangs out in heaven. These beings hang out in heaven. Now, they do come to earth. All right, they do come to earth, but their dwelling place is not earth. They're not humans. They're not an animal, an earthly animal. They're a being of the heavenly realm. Can you guys guess what I'm talking about? Angels. All right, so let's draw some angels here. Okay, we got some. All right, we got an angel. Wait, it does. It looks a little more like Batman, doesn't it? Or Twilight. You know what I am. Say it. Anyway. Okay, that's not a vampire. It's not Batman. Okay, it's an angel. Let's give this another shot. You guys got to stick with me. It's a butterfly. All right, a halo. Halo, how's that? Now we got some angels. Now, looking at this, what we want to do is we're trying to understand, what is incarnate? What does incarnate mean? Well, incarnate means that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels, we're told in Scripture. And he came and he dwelt with us. And he lived with us. And when you're attaching yourself to Jesus, you get a hold of that joy. You get a hold of what it is to have meaning in life, what it is to have purpose in life. And no matter what's going on in your surrounding parts of your life, you still have Jesus and that consistent part of what makes life meaningful and purposeful. And his goal of coming down here, and it's Velcro Jesus, okay? You guys are going to remember that Monday. Velcro Jesus, because everybody's sticking to him, right? And so his goal was to take this whole party and take this party on up to heaven and bring many sons to glory. And that's what happened that Christmas morning, some 2,000 years ago. That's what it means to be incarnate, to come down into earth and to get with us. Now, before we get into our scripture, I'd like to take a look at our movie clip for today. Today's movie is a famous movie. It is such a classic that it is in black and white, and you're going to find out who Clarence is. So let's take a look at this clip today. Yeah, I think most of us, if not all of us, we've been there. I love that scene, just how that builds and builds and builds. And we've been there. We've been so frustrated. It just feels like nothing we can do is right. Everything we touch just falls apart. And he's going up the stairs, and he grabs the knob on the stairs. And you just, I love the acting there, because that's what you feel. Just, oh, I'm going to chuck this somewhere. He goes upstairs to care for his sick daughter, and what does he do? As soon as he touches her flower, it starts falling apart. I think we've all been there. I don't even felt those things. Maybe you're feeling those things right now. Maybe you just feel like nothing in life is working out for me right now. And we like movies like that because we think, wouldn't it be great if just someone up in heaven would think about me for a change? If God or whoever's out there, depending on what your current belief is right now, I believe in God. Why isn't he doing anything? Wouldn't it be great if he sent me a guardian angel to come down and help put my life back in order? To help show me how wonderful life is. To help me through my struggles. To help me through the darkness that my life is. To help me through the financial things that I'm dealing with. To help me through the loss of a loved one. To help me through an illness. Broken marriage, broken hearts, a wayward teenager, tough decisions. You know, we think, wouldn't it be nice? That's what incarnate is, though. God sent his only son. If you got your Bibles, take them and open them up to a book called Hebrews. It's towards the end of your Bible. So if you start in Revelation and you turn back towards the front, you're going to pass 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Actually, it'll be 3rd, 2nd, 1st John. Jude, Peter, and James, and then Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. And as the writer of this letter starts off, he starts talking about, in the past, God spoke to us through the prophets at various times in many different ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his son, Jesus Christ. And after Jesus finished his work here, he went up to sit at the right-hand side of God. He's superior to the angels. And he goes in and he says, To who of the angels did God ever say, you're my son? That's what God said to Jesus, you're my son. In fact, that day when Jesus was born, we're told that angels worshipped him. Jesus is superior to the angels. Not only did they worship him, see, angels were servants. They are servants. But Jesus is an eternal king. He sits on the throne forever. Not only that, but Jesus laid the foundations of the heavens and the earth. He was there when they were all created. Angels had no part in that. That was Jesus. And Jesus, even though he made it, he's the guy that's going to be rolling it up like a garment, Hebrews says. Like an old garment that's worn out. He's just going to take it and he's going to roll it up. The earth and the heavens and throw them away, and we're going to be brought a new one. That's Jesus that does that, not the angels. Angels are simply ministering spirits. You know, we look at movies like that and we say, man, wouldn't it be great to have a guardian angel? God sent Jesus. He's so much better than a guardian angel in so many ways. And that's the Hebrew writer. That's what he's talking about in this section. He goes into chapter 2. And he starts talking about how the message of the angels that was given to those in the Old Testament, it was a binding message because their message came from God. But now we have the very message of Jesus Christ, the message of salvation that came that Christmas morning in a manger. Those little bitty hands and that little bitty heart that was 100% God and 100% man. 100% incarnate here with us. His message is even more binding than that. Read with me here in verse 5. He says, is it not to angels that he subjected the world to come about which we are speaking? He's saying, angels aren't the ones in charge of all this. It's Jesus. But there's a place where someone has testified, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crown him with glory and honor, and you put everything under his feet. And putting everything under him, God left nothing that was not subject to him. Yet, at present, what we see is him a little lower than the angels. Here with us, even though there's nothing above him, he came a little lower than the angels to be incarnate, to be here with us. Because he suffered death so that by the grace of God, he may taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. He goes on to talk about how he calls us brothers, both Jesus who makes men holy and those who are made holy. We get to call Jesus our brother. Skip on down to verse 14. It says, since the children, that's us, since we have flesh and blood, he too, talking about Jesus, shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Verse 17, for this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Incarnate. God with us, Emmanuel. God with us. What does that mean to us? That means so much. Take out your bulletins if you don't have them out. We're going to take some notes from this to take it home with us so this can stick to us. Jesus was incarnate. It means that he was made a little lower than the angels so that he could share in our humanity. Anything that you're going through, Jesus came down so that he could share in that with you. If this season is a dark season for you, if you're struggling with loneliness, or you're struggling with the loss of a loved one, or loss of a job, or financial pressures, Jesus shared in our humanity so he could be there with us. So much better than a guardian angel. So much better than Clarence. He was made like us so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest. See, in the Old Testament, the high priest was the guy that went in between man and God. Jesus is now the new high priest. There's no need for another one because this one's never going to die. He's merciful because he's been there. He's been there with us. He knows what it's like to be fully human. He knows what it's like to go through your struggles. He knows what it's like to be homeless, to walk around, to have pain, to have suffering, to watch others suffer. And so when you go to him and you're struggling with these things, he's merciful because he's been there. And he's faithful. The high priests of old, they would die. They'd pass away. People that you depend on, they let you down. Jesus will never let you down. Hebrews says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change. He is the most consistent thing you will ever find. He is a faithful high priest. Being incarnate means that he was tempted like us so he can help us when we're weak. You know, if you look at the things that are going wrong in your life, you can trace every one of them back to sin. Cancer. We live in a sinful world. Sin brought disease. Sin brought death. Some of the things that you're struggling with right now, it's because of your own sin. It's because of your own choices, because your principles, your values, your morals have not been correct. They haven't been set on what they need to be set on. Sometimes it's because you've been living just fine and it's other people's morals and values, their sin, that has caused this in your life. But if you look at any of your troubles, any of the darkness in your life, it all comes from sin. Jesus was incarnate so that he could help us as we struggle with our sin. So he could help us when we're weak, because he himself was tempted. Incarnate means that he suffered death so that he might taste death for all of us. Taste death. Taste death because Jesus can't die. He died, but God raised him from the dead. He tasted it. We wouldn't be able to taste death, not the kind of death that he experienced. He tasted death so that we wouldn't have to. You talk about taking care of problems. Through that, he destroyed him who holds the power over death. That is the devil. You know, as we trace our problems down and down, we find sin underneath that. The real culprit is Satan. That's our enemy. That's the cause of our problems. That's the cause of what's going on, is Satan's presence of evil and darkness in this world. And Jesus, through being incarnate, coming and dying, he put to death. Death. He destroyed the devil and the power he has over death. And in doing so, he freed us from the fear of death. He freed us from the fear of death. That Christmas morning, when God sent his only Son to become like one of us, to share in our humanity, to be made a little lower than the angels so that we could stick to him, Velcro Jesus. You're going to remember that. Velcro Jesus. And he's much better than Clarence. He's the only Son of God to bring many sons to glory. I remember one time, and I've shared this with you, and this is one of the stories that I'm going to be sharing throughout my tenure here, because this is a story that's really impacted my life. And I was really struggling with a lot of things at the time, and we were having financial problems, and it was causing a certain amount of stress on our life. We were trying for kids, and we were worried that we weren't going to be able to have kids. And we just had a lot of things that were just falling down. And I'd done what God had wanted me to do, so I felt. And we weren't receiving any blessings to help support that or to help encourage that. It just felt like, George Bailey. Everything I touched just fell apart, and I just didn't want to touch anything. Life just felt so miserable, and I was depressed. I was under pressure. I just felt like crumbling. Just felt like. And I was talking to God. I was like, what are you? Where are you? Talk to me. I've been praying to you, and I've been saying, God, help me. You said if we cry out to you, you will come and you will help us. You'll be our refuge. I'm not feeling like you're my clef right now. I'm feeling alone and cold in the rain. And I was driving in my car one night, and I was thinking about all these things. I was talking to God, and I was talking to him, and I'm pretty upfront with God. We talk very straight to each other. He's talked very straight with me through his word, and so I talk straight to him. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm as respectful as I should be. But I know he wants my honesty, and so I was talking to him in the car, and on my way home, I needed to make a stop by Walmart. Now I was sharing with him all this, and I just talked to God. And you got to talk to me, God. You got to encourage me. You got to help me out. So I went into Walmart to get some bananas, of all things. And I don't know if you've noticed. I mean, during the holiday season, I guess they crank it up because they've got holiday music. But all throughout the year, a lot of those stores, they've got music playing. It's very faint, and when it's busy, you don't hear it as much. And I don't think I ever heard it until this night. And now I pick up on it. And you hear it in Biggs late at night when there's not a whole lot of people shopping in there. And as I paid for my bananas, and I started walking out, and I started going out through the doors, and I guess I just passed right underneath the speaker, and I heard that old 70s song, and some of you guys might remember this one. And it was just the one line from that song that said, I love you just the way you are. Remember that song? And I stepped outside of those doors and I just said, whoa. That was weird, you know. I was getting the cold chills. I got in my car and I thought, oh, surely God wasn't speaking to me in Walmart through the Muzak system. You know what? What happened next is the reason why I'll never stop telling this story. It's why I don't think I'll ever forget this story. I think when my mind starts to fade and I start dropping memories, this is probably going to be one of the last memories that goes. So I was in the car and I was thinking about that. I was kind of laughing. Ha ha, yeah, right. God spoke to me. And I was like, what if you did speak to me, God? What if that was your attempt to tell me, to reassure me, to comfort me, to encourage me? I know you love me just the way I am. I know that about, who doesn't know that about God? If you know anything about God, you know that he loves you and he accepts you just for who you are. And I remember yelling out to God and I remember saying, God, I know you love me just the way I am, but that doesn't help me with my problems. And as audible as you would hear a man's voice to your ear, I heard God's voice to my heart. And he said, oh yes, it does. You know, when Jesus became incarnate, and this list that you've got in your bulletins that we pulled out of Hebrews chapter 2, those are problems. Sin is a problem. Death is a problem. Eternal existence in hell, that's a problem. God took care of those. Praise God, he took care of those. And he did so by sending Jesus incarnate. And he loves us just the way we are. You know, if he can conquer death, if he can conquer sin, surely he can walk you through whatever troubles you're dealing with this season. Surely he can hold your hand and suffer with you, incarnate. Surely he can help you when you're weak and you're fighting a sin that you need to get rid of. Surely he is with you always. And those are his words, not mine. This morning, if you're praying for a guardian angel, if you're hoping that someone up in heaven will hear your prayers, I assure you, he already has and he's already done something about it. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live here and share in our humanity.